Shalom. Welcome to the Remnant Mama Show, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy and LivingStonesTabernacle.org.
And again, we are continuing with preparation bride skills, and I have Miss Suzette Robinson. Are you there, Suzette?
Yes, shalom. How are you?
Shalom. Good to have you back on the show. We were going over this list for preparation, and you have some resources and recipes for us to share before we get started on that list.
We have The Backyard Homestead by Carlene, edited by Carlene Madigan by Story Publishing LLC, copyright 2009, and Backyard Roughing It Easy by Diane Thomas, and Baking Soda, Over 500 Fabulous Fun and Frugal Uses You've Probably Never Thought Of by Vicki Lance, and Eden's Bounty, a vegetarian cookbook with herbs and natural remedies by Ruth Abbott and Diana Inman.
All right. And you still have you want to share the website again for those who can go to download this information that you have?
Yes, it's www.painted, P-A-I-N-T-E-D, tongue, T-O-N-G-U-E.com.
All right. And we were talking about recipes last time that you said that you would have and share with us this week.
Yes. The recipes we had last week, we talked about a candy thermometer and what would we use with a candy thermometer. And we talked about some flatbreads and some donuts that you could make, because oil cooking is much more efficient than baking. And so we have a few of these. The basic flatbread recipe is 1 cup flour, 1 tablespoon oil, 1/2 teaspoon of salt. You mix and add water till it forms a dough. It makes tortillas, and you can easily fry it in oil. You can vary it by adding baking soda, sugar, which will make donuts, berries, nuts, etc. It cooks easily and quickly in oil with a small amount of energy. And if you make it sweet, like donuts and stuff, and put jellies and things on it, almost anybody will eat it. Cooks in 30 seconds or less in a skillet. And I think it's supposed to be 400 degrees for the donuts. The biscuits is the basic flatbread recipe plus baking powder.
All right. Now, you want to review just a little bit why we're bringing that recipe back up, because why we had it on last week. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the candy thermometer. And it's kind of a silly survival item. And, you know, I did this list a long time ago, and it was one of those things that a very good survival teacher, you know, shared as a kind of a, maybe a fun thing, but a fried bread is pretty much loved by everybody. And if you can make it into like a donut, you will need high calories in the wilderness. And like we said, frying takes so much less energy than baking. Baking, you would have to have, you know, a hot oven for an hour, where frying can take, this takes like 30 seconds in hot oil. The donuts take 3 to 4 minutes, but it's a lot faster and quicker with less energy to make something like this. And you, like you said, if you're a good cook and you have the skills, you wouldn't really need the candy thermometer. You would just know when things are done.
Well, or it would be gooey. The other thing is, having been in the South and half raised in the South, is, you know, you could make it into a good hush puppy with corn.
Yeah.
Corn and onions or something like that. And also, if you weren't having to be in the wilderness or camping, you could kind of do that at Hanukkah, couldn't you?
Yes. And the flatbread, you could practice that coming up. It's unleavened bread.
For Pesach. All right. And so where do you want to go next on this list, or do you have another recipe?
Those are the basic recipes I have. You can alter that adding different things of flavors. Like you said, put some spices in, make it hush puppies, put sugar in, make it donuts, and baking soda to make it rise or keep it as a flatbread.
Mm. I'm thinking of cinnamon.
That would be good.
Cinnamon. All right.
Oh, and we did talk about squab bread, and squab bread is basically, it's bad white bread dough. But you pitch up, we used frozen if you're camping. You could make your own from scratch, and you could obviously use a healthier bread dough. But you pinch off pieces of it. You get your oil hot over your open campfire, and you just kind of flatten them out with your fingers, and you put them in the oil. And they're kind of like, you know, homemade elephant ears.
Homemade elephant ears. And if you're into your own grinding, we grind our wheat and grains, you could grind them. Or you can take a hand grinder. You should probably have a hand grinder with you. So you could make healthier choices. It wouldn't just have to be the white flour choices. Okay.
Yes.
All righty. So we are looking at, are we going to finish up with canned foods? I know we talked about that a little bit.
Yeah. I think we said, you know, we need to buy them on sale. They last longer. And the rule of thumb for expiration dates on things like canned foods and stuff like that is 1 year, at least as far as the government standard. Mm-hmm. So that's something I know, like with the food pantries, if they get
1 year past the date.
Yes, 1 year past the date. If they get food donated and stuff, they will go with 1 year past the date as a precaution or as a, you know, it's still good.
All right. So now we have a canteen.
Yeah, very important. Everybody needs to have a way to carry water. That could be a really critical issue if you're out wandering around and you do find a water source, but you have nothing to put it in. And a stainless is better.
Okay, so you're talking about not, what if you didn't have a canteen? I mean, isn't that kind of a choice on whether or not you have a water filter, a personal water filter, or a gravity-fed filter, or just a way to carry it in general?
A way to carry it in general. The filters would be, you know, a whole separate necessity. But if you have to travel and your water source is in one place, if you're going by, you know, using streams or whatever, you definitely want to have a way to carry it. And it's good if everyone has their own personal source to carry on them.
Right.
As opposed to one person, you know, trying to carry a very large container of it.
And again, you need to be reasonable with that because like small children couldn't carry it. And that's why, and it depends on where you're at, whether you have availability to water, it might be more reasonable to use a gravity fed filter or a personal filter. But I understand what you're saying. Everyone needs to have access to water, but you can also get really bogged down if you had to carry too much, right?
Right. Yep. And I mean, a canteen can be small. Right. Even just like a quart or a liter size. And there's like the military kind, they strap on a belt. Or there's, you know, ones that have shoulder straps or even just the sport bottles that have the carrying, you know, clips on them. Mm-hmm. But even if you filtered the water, you would want to have something to put it in, you know, rather than just having to drink it right there on the spot.
Right. We like the stainless steel bottles with the lids that clip with the have the clips. And since we have good water where we live, whenever we travel or get in the car, because the water that you're buying at the stores is even got all this stuff in it, that we use our filter. You know, we have well water, but we still do the gravity fed to make sure there's no bacteria or anything. And then we fill those up. But those are perfect to be able to take with you and stick in your bags. And they're very durable. And then you don't have the issues with plastic, too.
Yep, absolutely. And sometimes you can find a really good deal on those. I found some at a dollar store and they were Sub-Zero brand. They came with two lids, a flip and a screw-on lid that were BPA free, and they were like $2.49. Our whole fellowship got them. I kept going back and buying them by like the caseload. And those are great because without the plastic lid, you can use it if you had to sterilize water, if you had to cook a soup or a bean or something. With the stainless, you can do that, and you're not running into the, you know, aluminum, which is unhealthy, or plastic, the plastic sport bottles. There's no way you're going to be able to use that in a fire.
Right. Absolutely. So those are a good investment, and that's an excellent price, by the way.
I bought several extras for anybody who ends up in the wilderness with us.
All right. How about cash is king?
Yeah, we saw this problem in the blackout of 2003. Anybody who was over here in the East Coast where some of the places were without power for 3 days, most of us, and it's by design, are used to either having a debit card or a credit card to purchase things. If there's, you know, even if you use cash, sometimes you have those for your large purchases. But if the power grid goes down, the electricity goes out, EMP, whatever it might be, nobody's going to take, not likely, I mean, they'd be very foolish if they did, take your credit card numbers and write it down and say they're going to run the charge later. So if you're traveling or you need anything, if you don't have cash on you, how are you going to pay for something? You may be somewhere and you just need to get home, or you need to get to your bug out location, or you need to run to the store and get that last thing that you just, you know, you didn't have, or it's fresh, something fresh, or, you know, that you need to have in your goods. You're not going to be able to do anything unless you, at that point, people are accepting barter. And initially, I don't think barter will really work. It might after a time, but you're going to need to have cash. You should carry some kind of cash on you at all times.
Well, and then what about the silver and gold and the junk silver?
Yeah, I also recommend that you carry some forms of precious metal, even if you have, you know, old necklaces or old rings or just some junk jewelry, and you just put those in a little container and put them in your car, in your purse or your wallet or whatever, and just have a little bit of something that if the dollar were to completely fail, you would also have something that, even if it only bought you that one tank of gas that got you from where you needed to be to where you needed to go to, that would be worth it to have that little bit with you. And you certainly see that, you know, I don't know if they're doing it everywhere, but we still see people with the, you know, we pay cash for gold. They're still trying to buy the gold up.
Yeah, I know they were around last year. I'm not sure, but I'm sure that's still something that is going. And, you know, for those of you who like the silver round coins, besides money, you can use it for antibacterial and or to take a piece of it off and make colloidal silver if you get into that kind of thing. I understand that years ago when they used to, you know, deliver milk to our door, the old timers would put a silver coin at the bottom of the milk and it helps keep the bacteria and help keep it fresh. And then, of course, I know people who, besides using silver rods, will actually take a piece of silver off of the troy ounce silver round coins and make their colloidal silvers.
We'll talk a little bit more about that right after this short break. What do you have in common with rat and roach poison, Prozac, nerve gas, hypnotic and psychiatric drugs, Nazi Germany ghetto and Auschwitz camps, MKUltra mind control programs, and cost-effective lobotomies, which dumb down the mass of society, making them complacent and immoral, and lowering children's IQs? Did you know your participation in this happens when you brush your teeth, use mouthwash, or when you drink water, including coffee, tea, soda, fruit juices, canned soups, black and red tea leaves, and other drinks? Are you participating in drinking unpurified water, which is included in your food products, which contain chlorine and fluoride? Participation by ingesting or even taking a bath or shower with this toxic poison fluoride is known to contribute to thyroid dysfunction, osteoporosis, spinal stenosis, and cancer. Did you know fluoride was introduced using Nazi war criminal scientists who had done experiments on the Jews during World War II and were given refuge in this country? Stop participating in this and purify your water. Water is symbolic of the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, and we need it to have life and plenty of it. Start with helping to reduce the amount of fluoride and chlorine, which is known to inhibit thyroid function and contribute to many other health issues, by investing in a Dalton water purification system. For more information, go to the Hebrew Nation Radio store and click on Remnant Remedy and look for the Dalton Water Purification Systems. Welcome back to the Remnant Mama Show. This is Nitza Moshe with Suzette Robinson and the Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride. We were talking about using our troy silver for bartering, money, cash, and for medicinal purposes, and we will continue. So it isn't, you know, just for bartering or for paying for something. You could actually use it for some medicinal purposes.
Yeah, and I mean, colloidal silver has so many uses. And I know that even modern medicine understands the value of silver. I think it's used quite a bit with silver impregnated bandages, especially like for burn victims and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you could produce your own colloidal silver if you had it. There was the saying "born with a silver spoon" was not. Yeah, it was. There actually was something to that. Not only were the wealthy people, you know, wealthy and had, you know, nicer homes and everything, but they ate off of silver as opposed to wood or by hand. Mm-hmm. That poor people were eaten with, and the silver dishes were naturally antibacterial. So they were actually kept healthier because they had the silver to eat off of.
So if you get your family heirloom silver, or you can get them at a yard sale or something, they actually had properties to them so that when you ate off of them, they were good. The other thing is with colloidal silver that we have used in the past with great success, and I actually learned from someone else who had a child that was born with cerebral palsy, is if you're asthmatic or croupy and if you can nebulize or spray mist the colloidal silver and to inhale it into the lungs. You know, we use the essential oils, but you might not always have them. And to use a nebulizer with that, or to put it in a glass spray bottle to try to mist and get that silver, you know, in your nostril area. And also conjunctivitis is one of my best uses for colloidal silver. I like to put them in a spray bottle, and especially with babies, because then you could just spray it, you know, and they blink at you and they might cry. But that really is helpful. You know, it's good for cash and it's good for some other things. So,
yeah. In fact, I carry a bottle of colloidal silver with an eyedropper in my purse. I have a tendency to react to things like molds or something and eat without it, I hate to say.
Right. So it's great to get in the lungs and other things. So, and that's just something we encourage you listeners to go explore those opportunities and things and learn now, because we're not always going to have time to learn and get ready. How about these chemical warmers? You know, up here in Northwest Montana is really popular, especially in hunting country and territory, that you have those in your backpack. So when you're out in the wilderness hunting and you might get really cold or frostbitten, that you have that.
Yeah, they actually can prevent frostbite, and they have them now in different shapes and sizes for boots and gloves and foot warmers. And a lot of times you can pick them up on clearance. It's not until they're activated that they, you know, start working. And it's basically, I understand, an iron oxide or something. Once it's exposed to oxygen, that's when the it like rusts it really fast, and that's what makes it warm. That's actually what an oxygen absorber is. You use in your food storage packaging. It's just like a giant hand warmer. They're definitely handy to have. Have some in your bug out bag and, you know, in your car and stuff. So if you do have to, you know, trek out in cold weather, they sure do help to keep the frostbite away.
And you know, that's something too to consider if you have elderly whose their circulation is not that good, and when everybody else is perfectly warm, they're not. As far as essential oils go, the Circle of Life blend that we have at Remnant Remedy, which also has cypress in it, has been used for frostbite, and cypress or the blend Circle of Life is very good for circulation. And we have used that as a preventative and afterwards with people who have gotten a little bit of frostbite. So that's something else to consider if you're building up a Remnant Remedy chest for preparedness and for your restoration needs for your family.
Excellent to be able to treat it if it does happen. Right. Or to prevent it if you have that and don't have the chemical warmers.
And also consider, you know, I think everybody, you need to have cayenne in your pack. You know, number one, it'll warm your body, give you circulation. And, you know, helichrysum and cypress is great for bleeding, but so is cayenne. And if you've got some major bleeding, you might want to have that cayenne to save somebody's life if they get cut or wounded or something. And also use it, like I said, to warm the body and get circulation going. A lot of elderly people, too. And I don't mean just, I mean, some people in their 40s and 50s, you know, they don't get enough good circulation because they've been on the sad American diet and whatever other chemicals and things are shooting into us. But, you know, just having lemon oil or lemon juice every day with some cayenne in it is great for arthritis and circulation. And it can make a big difference for some people who are having related problems with circulation and with their heart, strokes, etc. So that's something really to think about and consider.
Yep, I have heard that cayenne pepper will stop a heart attack instantly. I've not tried it. Praise you, I've not had to use it. But.
Well, I have used the cayenne tincture years ago when it wasn't actually my heart. It was the veins would begin to collapse, which would, you know, go like into a heart attack symptom. And so that cayenne, what it does is dilates the vessels large very quickly. And so it's tough. That is rough, but it would pull me out right away before we would have to call the ambulance. So it is really something to research and get your information and get you a pound of cayenne capsicum and or at least the tinctures. And it's in a lot of heart formulas, circulation formulas.
That's amazing. You know, when you think about it, just a spice essentially, you know, to help prevent stroke and heart attack and bleeding. You can do the capsules. You can get vegetarian capsules for people that are, you know, might not be able to get it down. I mean, certainly if it's an emergency, get it down as best as you can. But if you want to take it as a supplement or something, you can always get capsules and prepackaged or do them yourself.
Yeah, and remember that cayenne, when it's mixed with other herbs such as golden seal and echinacea, it really gives a boost to whatever herb you're using for whatever purpose and getting it into the circulation, into the life or the blood, you know, where the life of the blood is. So that is other ways to use it and think about it. It's something that also enhances other things you're using, like myrrh. Essential oil of myrrh is a fixative or like an enhancement and helps other oils do their job better. Cayenne or capsicum does the same thing with the herbs.
Wonderful.
And so, yes, we are not doctors. We are not medicating. We're not prescribing. We're just sharing some things that we have used or know has worked for us. And so we had next on our list, I believe, a cistern.
Yes. What a treasure if you have a house that has a cistern. This is a large container that's usually in old homes. They would be in the basement. Like if you had, we call them in Michigan, a Michigan basement, it's stone walls. And there would be a section that we walled off to hold water. Or you can have them, sometimes they're a big tank outside the house somewhere. And they're just a underground water storage tank. And if you don't have one and you have the ability to put one on your property, I highly recommend it. If the power goes out or something were to happen, even if you're on well water and you have a hand pump, it's good to have a large cache of water available.
Yeah, even here in Northwest Montana and Idaho, you'll see, especially the homesteads that didn't have electricity at one time or still don't, or want to purposely be set up for that purpose, they will have cisterns and they'll have, of course, a big cover on them and lock them so that people can't get in them and fall or get hurt, but it provides water in some cases for everything, their showers, their water, their drinking, and it also, in many cases, they have it set up and funneled so that it can flow off some hoses so that if there was a forest fire. So it is a way to, you know, make sure you have some water stored, but also, you know, you need to be safe and contain them so that especially children or elderly don't accidentally fall into them.
Yeah, I think now they're probably made a little safer. Some of the ones on the farms weren't always covered very well, so make sure you do cover them. Mm-hmm.
All right, what about cities?
Oh, goodness.
Can you carry a city with you?
Get out. We're trying. Raja, we're hoping we're working on that pretty soon. There's an old saying that any city is 3 days from a riot or 9 meals from a riot. And with today's just-in-time computerized ordering system, most store shelves would be empty in a matter of a few days, if not within a few hours of a disaster. And the good news is that I can say that I think that some of the store shelves are actually empty before the disaster. That's good because it means people are not taking it lightly that something could, you know, they could have their service interrupted or whatever, and they are stocking up a little bit. But the bad news is everybody runs to the store at the last minute. When people run out of food and their children are crying and hungry, the cities are not going to be the place to be. Not only that, there's very little structure for self-sustaining methods. There's not likely to be a lot of wildlife, maybe rats if you're in New York. Nobody wants to or should eat those. There's not going to be the gardening space, the water supply. That's, you know, you're usually on city water, city sewer. There's so many things besides just people that is going to be a problem if you're in the city.
Right. And we're talking, you know, not just there's a crisis coming like a weather disaster, but which of course is a time to get out. And it's very important to know his voice so that he'll speak to you and tell you when to get up and go. And or, you know, maybe you might want to really consider relocating at least to a more rural area so that you can leave. I can tell you from my past experience of living, say, in Florida during 2004, when those hurricanes went boom, boom, boom. We had four major hurricanes that year. One of them, you know, the father just said, you need to get up and leave. Leave now. And it didn't, you know, we usually didn't have any problems because we were smack dab in the middle of the state. But we got up, we left. We had an hour to just figure out what we were doing and get it on the road. We had no idea where we were going on top of that. But what was really interesting about it was we were like just 30 minutes to an hour ahead of the masses starting to wake up that needed to get out. Of course, Florida is a terrible place for a bottleneck because you've only got two major highways going north. And then everybody behind us, most of them couldn't get out of the state because they couldn't finish getting gas, not to mention traffic and everything. And Father led us to a place in Tennessee. Now, something that was really interesting about that when we got to the campground, we realized that there were so many people down in Florida that didn't have generators because they couldn't buy them because they, of course, didn't have them and were prepared. And so we were in North Tennessee. And we could not get a generator to send or buy for someone to send back down to Florida. And because they were skimming the whole Southeast up to the Midwest with all the Lowe's and Home Depot, all those department stores, everybody had already lost all their inventory of generators. So, you know, your region of what you need to get expands much farther. And I think that this hurricane, was it Sandy? The one that was in the Northeast?
Mm-hmm.
Now, just think about that. That's a hurricane that you usually think of a hurricane as just being on the coast, maybe within 100 miles, 200 miles of the coast. And yet that storm affected practically half of the United States.
Yep. And so that happened more.
Yeah, we're going to see that more and more between, you know, Father's judgment and him allowing those to play and manipulate the powers to be. So it is important to know Yahweh and know his Holy Spirit. I want a relationship with him so he wakes me up and tells me, get out and go. And we also need to be busy about having our eyes and ears open and aware of what's going on. And do we need to prepare? When do we need to prepare? And how do we need to prepare? And that is different for every person, for their calling, where they they live, you know, what their purpose is in this whole big scenario. We're not saying that everybody has to do one thing alike, but we do all need to pray and try to figure out where he wants us and how he wants us to prepare physically and spiritually.
Absolutely. I mean, if Father calls you to stay and minister in the city, listen, by all means, listen to his voice. And I don't recommend leaving if he tells you to stay.
We're out of time. We'll be back next week. May your garments always be white and let your head light.
Garments of linen gotta be ceased. Learn how to make healing oils on your own. Grinding wheat and storing.